I believe God is speaking to his people, and I believe that we need to pay particular attention so that we don't miss out on God's move. It is important that we don't miss out on God's move and God's plan, not just for our individual lives, but even as a nation. We need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. I don't think it's any coincidence. How many of us, okay, I'm going to guess none of us went for the Festival of Life, but how many of us watched the live stream? Okay, very few. Very few of us. There was a gentleman that spoke at the FOL in Manchester, the former police officer. He said something which I found quite striking. He had an encounter, a definite encounter in Scotland. 2 weeks ago, for those of us that went for the Advance 2020, can we remember what another gentleman, two different locations, said he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit while praying in Scotland? Do you remember? Two different people, more or less the same encounter. They were both in Scotland praying concerning the nation, praying concerning the land. The scary thing was their testimonies was almost identical. So for those of you that listened to FOL, for those of you that went to Advance 2020 the previous weekend, a gentleman came, said he was praying. And as he was praying in his hotel room, he heard literally an audible voice. Do we remember? Does that sound familiar? Am I talking to myself? Folks, yes, thank you. Now, I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit said. It was like they both said they heard clearly. What, you know, it was as if someone was in the next room. My wife and I were talking and we're like, who knows? Could it have been possible that they were in the same hotel? Because it was scary. They heard, like literally in the next room, someone say something, and it was the Holy Spirit speaking to them. But what I thought about is that they were both in the north of the land praying concerning the nation. They both came to the south of the land to share the testimonies. And I can only surmise that God's plan, God has a plan that is going to span the length and breadth of this nation, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. But what was the word that God gave both gentlemen? Different individuals praying concerning the same thing. Isaiah 43:19. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This is what God said to both men concerning the nation, concerning the UK. We're going through a turbulent period as a nation. Some people are fond of saying the people, you see, whether you like it or not, the fact that you're in this land, the Bible says, pray for the peace of the land. Because in its peace, what? What will happen? In the peace of the land, what will happen? You will have peace. When the land is at peace, we will be at peace. When the land prospers, we will prosper. We have to pray for our land. So we cannot pretend as if whatever is happening doesn't concern us. It concerns each and every one of us. God says he will do a new thing in the UK. Praise the Lord. He says, will you not see it? Will you not know it? I like the Message version says, be alert. Be present. I am about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? Are we alert? Do we have the presence of mind to see what God is doing? Or are we just going about business as usual? Last week, I was sharing with us about how folks are praying for this land. As in, praying for massive revival. Praying for an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. Believing God for a radical revival. Are we alert to what God is doing? Are we part of God's move? We love singing that song. Whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. Are you going to be part of what God's doing in the season? Get involved. So my prayer is that we'll be alert and present to be part of God's plan for this nation. We don't want to be spectators. Honestly. That will be the saddest thing. We read so many books. We read about, you know, the Pentecost revival. We read about all manners of revivals that happen in the UK, in the US. And we're like, wow, God used people. What part are you going to play in God's move? What part are you going to play in God's revival plan for the land? What part are you going to play? Are you just going to be a spectator? If Christ tarries and folks are talking about the move of God from the north to the south of the land, when they're talking about the move of God in Leicester, because believe you me, it's happening in Leicester. We're not going to be spectators. But when God is going to move from the north to the south, from the east to the west, and they talk about the move of God in Leicester, will you be amongst those they will talk about as folks that were used? Even if it's not written, will your name be recorded in heaven as having been part of that move? Because if men don't recognize your part, that's fine. If people don't see the part you play, that's fine. But will God see? Will he see the part you play in ensuring a revival? You know that song that says there's going to be a revival in the land? From the north to the south, to the east, to the west, there's going to be a revival in the land. We don't want to just sing it. Let us be part of God's move. He said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Will you not see it? It's bursting out. Don't you see it happening? My prayer is that God will open our eyes to see what he's doing. He will open our hearts and ears to have an understanding of his move in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It seems as if when okay, let's relax a bit. Yeah? Let's relax. Smile. Jesus loves you. Everybody, look. You guys look too serious. Really, you look too serious. I didn't mean to make you get into a very sober and reflective mood. Okay, can you tell the person next to you they should smile? Jesus loves them. Smile, Jesus loves you. Smile, Jesus loves you. Oh, man, you guys have wonderful smiles. So, who's not smiling? I'm Sir, Jesus loves you. Smile. Yeah, I see the smile. Praise the Lord. Can we open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14? Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, from verse 22. We'll just read from verse 22 to 33. Matthew 14, from verse 22 to 33. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read from verse 22. And I read, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went down to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Praise the Lord. This is a story that we're all very familiar with. My guess is yes. And a lot of the time, for the benefit of those that write titles, we're looking at Peter as an example of total commitment. Peter as an example of total commitment. A lot of the time when we read the story, oftentimes we focus on the fact that Peter doubted and the fact that, hey, he had little faith and that was why he was sinking. There have been books written about this case. I think there's one by John Ortberg. I think it is John Ortberg that says that if you want to walk on water, something like that, but you have to step out of the boat. When people say, "Oh, Peter doubted, he doubted, he doubted," I usually say, "But Peter walked on water." I'm not sure if anyone else has walked on water before. Peter walked on water. Now, let's just put the story in context. Firstly, Jesus Christ had been ministering to folks. So I can imagine that folks would have been, you know, he told the disciples, "You go ahead while I disperse the crowd and let them go." But he dispersed the crowd. He went on to pray. Now, we're told that this incident happened in the fourth watch of the night. When is the fourth watch of the night? Fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The gathering took place in the evening. Let's even say late into night. Jesus must have prayed quite a while. Jesus must have been praying quite a while. So, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., the wind was boisterous. Everything was in a turmoil. Jesus now decided to go and meet his disciples. By the way, interestingly, if you want to check it out, there are quite a few significant things in the Bible that happened in that fourth watch of the night. Check it out. And is that saying something to us? Perhaps we shouldn't love sleep too much. Guilty as charged. Perhaps we need to get up early more, to pray more. Some of us, we can pray well into the night. If you can't pray well into the night, you can wake up early and, you know, start your day off with prayers. I pray God will help us. I think I wake up after the fourth watch. Yeah, I wake up after the fourth watch of the night. But perhaps we need to spend more time. You know, let's early in the morning, before the sun rises, let's spend time seeking God's face, praying to Him. All right, so very early, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., still dark. Now, let's bear in mind that this hasn't happened before. Okay, fair enough. The Israelites, they walked through dry land, through the Red Sea. But the sea parted. Yes? They passed through the Jordan, but the river parted. Now, they see someone. It's okay because we have benefit of hindsight. They see someone walking on water. Even with the knowledge we have now, how many of us will see someone walking on water? And, well, I hope I don't sound racist. You know that there's some things that Caucasians will say and do that people of color, I think it's the way we're wired. We're not a curious bunch. Let's use films. You guys watch films, right? You watch some of these films and, you know, the building is collapsing, everything is happening, and people are walking towards it to go and see what's happening. How many of you have thought, what's wrong with you folks? You should be going the other way. Or something is happening and someone brings out their, you know, their camera, their phone, and they're, you know, it's happening now. The building is coming down. The terrorists are attacking. And you're thinking, you hear, boom. And you're staying to watch to see what is happening. You go the other way. Right? No one needs to teach you, right? I think it's in the DNA. It has to be in the DNA. You know, you run. A friend of mine told me once that he was going skydiving. And I looked at him, I said, skydiving? He said, yes. I was like, you're not a Caucasian. Because it's when you're kind of relaxed and everything is all well and good. When I come, they say that you're full. You know, you've eaten and you're full and everything is sorted. That's why you can think about bungee jumping and skydiving and all that. You see someone walking on water, will you stay? Nada. And that's with the benefit of insight we have now. These guys, they saw Jesus walking on water. Naturally, they thought, it's got to be his ghost. It's never happened before. But I'm fascinated by Peter's response to that. They were scared. They were all scared, which was why Jesus Christ said, you know what? Don't be afraid. It's me. Talk about boldness. All right, so if it is you, tell me to come and walk to you. God is God. Man is man. So for him to say, if it's you, tell me to come and walk to you, it was divine nature. It was divine nature. Jesus Christ said, okay, come. Peter stepped out and started walking. Praise the Lord. He walked. He defied nature. What made it possible? All right, in fairness, Jesus Christ said, you know, little faith. Why did you doubt? Well, think about it. The little faith he had allowed him to walk. Whether it was one step or two or three steps, he took those steps. And what made it possible for him to take those steps? Because he was focused on Jesus. He had faith. If it is you, tell me to come. Let me walk towards you. The first thing, just three things. The first thing about Peter, and I say that, you know, Peter was not daunted by the circumstances because he was focused on Jesus. I think Peter is a classic example of what it means to be committed. To be committed to a cause. Who is a disciple? A disciple is an adherent, someone that adheres to some doctrine. Peter had bought in into all Jesus Christ stood for. He was totally sold out to Jesus. So when Jesus said, come, define nature, define the circumstances, he was looking, he was he was focused on Jesus, and he began to walk. He walked on water. Yes, sadly, the Bible tells us that, you know, he became aware of his surroundings, the boisterous wind, and what happened? He started to sink. But for the period he walked, he was not daunted by the circumstance. He was not moved by the environment. He saw Jesus, and he was walking towards Jesus. Forget about what is under your feet. What are you looking at? What are you, placing your gaze on? Praise the Lord. You know, we see it a lot in all these cartoons. You see someone walking on here, and then all of a sudden they realize, hang on, how many people know what I'm talking about? Some of us know, right? So if you don't know, that just says that you're a particular generation. So we pardon you for not knowing. But yeah, you know, they're walking on here, and all of a sudden, I'm like, they run all the way halfway, and then they realize, hang on, there's nothing on the ground. And then circumstances make them drop. But focusing on Jesus, not daunted by circumstances, even the impossible becomes possible for us. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to step out of the boat and head to Jesus, not what the environment is saying. If we get bogged down by the environment, if we get bogged down by our circumstances, we're not going to accomplish much. If we focus on Jesus in totality, we will walk on our water. Whatever that water may be, whatever the circumstances, whatever the winds, whatever the raging sea might be, we'll walk on our water. That is what total commitment is. Focusing, fixing our gaze purely and solely on Jesus. Secondly, I say that total commitment entails a willingness to go the extra mile. Total commitment entails a willingness to go the extra mile. Now, sometimes it might not be convenient for us, but if we're totally sold out to God, we'll go the extra mile. We'll go the extra mile for others. We'll go the extra mile for people. Can we look at Luke chapter 5, verse 5? Luke 5, 5. Now, this is Peter. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. This is an account of when Simon Peter came to meet the Lord. And, you know, Jesus Christ used his boat to preach. And I said, you know, move out, cast your net out. And Peter was telling him, was like, we've been at it all night. This is now morning. So let's even say they started late in the evening and were trying to fish throughout the night. How many people have heard that, you know, the fish tend to come up in the nighttime, closer to the surface? So ideally, fishing works better. So am I right? That we know we have some people that are that know more about fishing here. But so it's probably easier to fish at night. Yet these guys, that word toiled. You think about the word toil. It's not a fun time. That means you've really worked hard. You've really worked hard all night trying to make something happen, and it's not happening. Peter said, irrespective, yeah, we've been at it all night, it's not happening. We know that it's not happening. But because you said so, because you say I should do it, I will do it. So it's not, I can imagine if many of us, we go to work. For those of us that do 9-to-5 jobs, some of us, we do longer. You've done an 8-hour, 9-hour, 12-hour shift. And then you get home and someone says, oh, you know what? We need to do something. We need to pack this thing, or we need to go visit someone, or we need to do that. And you're thinking to yourself, you know, my body's just aching me. All I want to do is lie down. For some of us, we stand for a long day. And then, you know, when you sit down and you lift up your leg, how many people know what I'm talking about? It's as if, you know, there's just this release. And how many people know what I'm talking about? Nobody. Okay, some of us. You know, you just want to lift up your leg off the floor and just lie down. Imagine someone now comes. At that point, that is when they now say to you, you know what? We need to go and visit Brother X. We need to go and see Sister this. Or there's someone in hospital. We need to go and pray for them. Or actually, you know what? I know you've been working all day, but we're going to do a night evangelism. Let's go to the streets. And you're thinking, I'm not the one that killed Jesus. You know? But this guy, it was like, we've toiled all night. We've been at it all night. However, at your word, because you said it, I'll do it. I'll go the extra mile. How many of us are ready to go the extra mile? Irrespective of our personal circumstances, irrespective of what we've been going through, how many of us are willing to grow that extra length for Jesus? What is the word he said to you? What has he said to you? The word is said to you. At his word, are you willing to go the extra mile? So that in spite of the disappointment of hard work and no apparent reward for labor, will you go the extra mile? Some of us, we've been doing certain things for a long while now, and it doesn't seem to be yielding any fruit. Some of us, we've been praying concerning some particular people, and it's not happening. The circumstances are not changing. Some of us, we've been praying for certain things, and it's not changing. And you're thinking, hang on. He said, if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. But you've been knocking and knocking and knocking, and it doesn't seem to be happening. Will you still take him at his word? Because that is commitment. That is commitment. The fig tree is not blossoming. There's no olive in the vine. Are you still going to stand firm? Are you still going to hold on? You know, it's easy to serve God when things are all good. It's so easy. Everything is falling. One of my favorite verses, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a goodly heritage. Psalm 16, right? The line is falling for you in pleasant places. It's so easy to serve God. It's so easy to claim I'm a child of God. It's falling unto me in pleasant places. Things are working. All things working for my It's intentional, right? Things are working for your good. Everything is happening as it should be. It's all well and good. What if they're not happening as they should be? What if it seems the lines are not falling in pleasant places? Are you going to still be committed to this God? Are you still going to hold on to his word? That was what Peter did. Nevertheless, at your word. I don't like it. I don't like how it looks. But nevertheless, at your word. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, say that if you're totally committed to your Christian faith, you must be ready to confess Christ, no matter what others say or think. If you're totally committed to your Christian faith, you must be ready to confess Christ, no matter what others say or think. It seems as if there's this ideology or idea, social construction. It seems as if as Christians, our religious belief, increasingly we're allowing it to be socially constructed. So we're allowing society to shape what we should do, what we should believe. We're allowing our faith to be dictated by changes in society. Very, very crude example that I like using. You have a hammer. What is a hammer used for? For hammering. So nails, right? Now, if you have a hammer and we all decide that the hammer is good for keeping the door open, you know, you can use it as a wedge. If we say that is what it is, it's a door wedge, then we're saying the hammer, even though it's a hammer, for all intents and purposes, it's a door wedge. Now, that is the meaning we ascribe to it. The fact that we say it's a door wedge doesn't make it less of a hammer. But we've said it's a door wedge, and that's what we use it for. What's happening with Christianity is we're allowing society to say this is how it should be, this is what it is. Does it change God's original purpose for us as believers? No, it doesn't. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16, please. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16. Jesus Christ, at a point, was asking his disciples, you know, what are people saying about me? Who do they think I am? It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Collectively, they answered, oh, some people think you're John the Baptist. Some people think you're Elijah. Some people say this is who you are. Some say this, some say that. Everybody was saying what they felt. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Now remember, how many people answered when he said, who do men say I am? They all answered. He said, but who do you say I am? Next. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, I wonder what is it that was it an understanding? Obviously it was by divine revelation that Peter could say that. But when he said, who do people say I am? Everybody was saying their own. So Charles says his own, Oluwaseyi says his own, Kelly says his own. Everybody is saying their own. Who do you say I am? Who do others say? Everybody talks. Who do you say I am? Peter was bold to proclaim by divine inspiration, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise the Lord. Irrespective of what others are saying, are you ready to stand by your faith? Are you ready to proclaim what you believe? Are you ready to proclaim Christ as the Son of the living God? Because honestly, that is what makes the difference. That is the distinction. Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? You know, sometimes we're not bold to speak out because we're not sure or we're not totally convinced. I'd like to believe that the other disciples must have been thinking, yes, this is. But conviction makes you know, I know whom I believe. And I'll speak on the basis of that. I can categorically say, this is who I believe. I can categorically say, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. No apologies to anyone. We need to get to such a position. When we're totally committed, when we're totally sold out, irrespective of what people are saying, you know, some people are, they're saying all sorts, but what are you saying? Remember James 4:17 we looked at this morning. It says that to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So what do you know? What do you know and what are you professing? You don't want to be named or to be called names. You don't want people to think of you in a particular way, and therefore you decide to keep quiet. Man, you can't afford to keep quiet. You cannot afford to keep quiet. You think some things might not go your way if you proclaim your faith. You're not the first one, and you're not going to be the last one. We need to be bold. We need to stand out. We need to talk Jesus. We need to let people know. Praise God. You know, I when I was thinking about this notion of Peter as an example of someone who was totally committed, I asked myself, I said that, you know, some people might say that he later denied Jesus Christ. And not just once. Three times. But then, Peter showed resilience. Jesus Christ had been praying for him. Right? Jesus said that, you know, the devil will look to sift you. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. So even though he fell, he got up. He got up, he became one of the, you know, pillars of the early church. Don't let Satan, don't let the devil delude you. Don't let him make you think that, no, I made a mistake, that's it. God is a gracious God. God is a forgiving God. The Bible says he doesn't want the death of any sinner, but that the sinner will repent. He says he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. If any man opens, he will come in and dine with him. That is the God we serve. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the God we serve. Two passages. Micah 7:8 says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Proverbs 24:16, the A part is, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. It is not in the falling, it is in the rising. So even if you slip up, know that you have a God that will raise you back up. Know that you have a God that will allow you to rise again. So don't let the devil, don't let Satan use any errors to hold you down. if you fall, you will rise again. Peter's resilience was not in, okay, yes, I did not. It happened to Judas. Judas betrayed Christ. But that was it. Thank God Jesus prayed for Peter. But you know what the Bible says about Jesus and us? It says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, doing what? Interceding on whose behalf. So the way Jesus prayed for Peter is constantly interceding for you and I. So if anything goes wrong, you've got everything it takes to bounce back. Peter bounced back and continued to do what was right. The Bible says we should not continue. Whosoever is born of God does not continue to sin. We do not continue in sin because we're born of God. We have what it takes to walk in the right path. Shall we rise to our feet? I pray that beyond what we've shared this afternoon, the Holy Spirit will grant us insight to be totally committed. Why don't you just pray for yourself? Pray that, Father, help me not to be moved by my circumstances, not to be moved by things that are going around me, not to be moved by the winds, not to be moved by the waves, not to be moved by the environment. Father, help me to go the extra mile. Help me to go that extra mile. Even when I am weary, when I am tired, when I am stressed, because your word has said it, because of the word you've given to me, that I'll go that extra mile. I'll go that extra length for the sake of the gospel, for you. Help me to confess you as Lord, as Christ, as the Son of the living God, that I'll boldly proclaim you wherever I find myself. Even in the face of tests and trials, I know that I have you as an advocate. I know you're seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. Let me be a worthy example of the believer, even as I go into this new week. Let me be a worthy example of the believer in my thoughts, in my words, in my actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Everlasting Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for the word we've heard today. We say, Father God, that we will be children that you're proud of. That, Lord, you look upon us, you'll smile as your sons and your daughters who are doing your will, who are attuned to listen to what you have to say and are walking by them. Father, we pray that as we go into this new week, that, Lord, you'll bless and keep us. We ask, oh God, that you'll cause your face to shine upon us and that you'll be gracious to us. We ask, O Lord, that you lift up your countenance upon us and that we'll enjoy your peace in every moment of every day of every week, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen and amen in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we share the grace and fellowship? In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week in His presence.